Now, we've got the technology help with Fevzi Turkart. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Great to have you with us. Why is there such a problem getting this app up and running that helps with tracking and tracing people? That's going to be increasingly important with managing coronavirus going forward. Why is the tech part of it such an issue?
I'm not sure that the tech part of it is the issue. I think that there were some decisions made right at the beginning about how that app would work that haven't turned out to be very good decisions.
And right.
So the government's original decision was that it would be what's called a centralised system. In other words, all these different smartphones would report their data back to a government database. It would hold it. It would do the matching. It would be in control of everything and would have that information. And that is against the way that Apple and Google wanted to do it, and they amended their smartphone operating systems to make it easy for people to write apps by using the code built into the phones. But with those systems, it was decentralized. That's to say, the information was held locally on people's devices, would do much the same job, but wouldn't allow the government to hold information that people might think was private to them. Okay, so it allowed matching, but without letting the government know everything. So the government went down one path, possibly because they thought it was the best thing, and possibly because they thought they could make good use of that data in other ways. People were not happy with that, but also the app itself ran into problems. But notwithstanding that, the question is now that they made that decision a good couple of weeks ago not to go down the path of centralized, why they don't just introduce, you know, the Germans have basically offered them their app and it's working, and the government claimed there's no apps working anywhere in the world. That's not true. There's more than a dozen countries successfully using the app now. You have to think it's a question of political will and competence rather than technology, frankly.
Because that's just weird, isn't it? Because the idea of using technology, when we're all carrying around these devices that know exactly where we've been and who we've been near, regardless of whether we even know the people or not, that's a huge valuable resource, isn't it?
It is. I mean, and there are some technological challenges. For example, if they want to use Bluetooth on our devices to work out how far apart we are and how much time we spend next to each other. Now, the problem with Bluetooth is that it's hard to know whether I'm 3 meters from you or whether I'm 1 meter from you, but there's a wall between us because actually I'm standing next to the wall next to my next door neighbor who's standing next to his or her wall. Mm. So there are some issues like that, but frankly, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be good enough.
Well, it's better than nothing, surely.
Well, yes, if you do it correctly, it's better than nothing. But the other thing about this, to make it better than nothing, is you have to have an adequate level of testing in the community, because you can either get false positives or false negatives. So someone who thinks that they might have coronavirus, but if they don't get themselves tested or if they can't access a test, may result in a whole bunch of other people having to quarantine themselves unnecessarily. Equally, someone without symptoms but would be picked up by community testing isn't being picked up. So the app will only really be beneficial if there's enough testing, and we certainly don't have enough testing in this country. So I wonder whether it's a recognition of the fact that we don't have enough testing that they're not rolling out the app, because they've started talking about the app as something that would be nice to have, you know, frankly, whilst people are dying. And without wishing to be too political about it, you know, the app is only really going to be useful if you get the testing numbers up as well.
0808 100 5100. If you've got any question about technology, maybe the technology you're using more of in this situation to keep in touch with other people, or just because you've got more time on your hands and we're doing more things with our streaming services and our TVs and laptops and all of that. 0808 100 5100. Callum in Henley is thinking of getting a fitness watch, but says they seem expensive and complicated. I just want to track my steps and my heart rate. Is there a cheap version?
Yes, there is a cheap one, which is still, but there are some really cheap ones, but they're not worth having. There is the Band 4 Pro, which I think is a Huawei product. It's about £50, which is about as low as I would recommend you go. You can pay, you know, if you get an Apple Watch, you can pay many, many hundreds of pounds, but that does fitness tracking. It also does sleep tracking, and it's got a decent battery life on it as well. That's to say the number of hours you get out of it per charge is quite healthy. It's quite stylish. It's one of these ones. It's a sort of tall rectangular screen. But like a lot of Huawei equipment, it's actually, good value for money in terms of the hardware and the quality. So I'd recommend one of those. You could go Fitbit, but Fitbit aren't particularly cheap. Also, Fitbit got bought by Google, so some people have got privacy concerns. I, for example, when I was reviewing a Fitbit unit, found that part of the terms and conditions was that I had to give it access to my contact list. And it was going to make a copy of my contact list off my smart device in exchange for me using the thing. So I just put it back in the box and sent it back.
Interesting.
So you just have to... Well, they were. Well,
which of us would even know that? Which of us would look it up apart from you, because you do it for a living?
Exactly. And the thing is, there was really no way around it, because even if you wiped your contact list off, installed the software, let it do its thing at the beginning, if it later detected a contact list, it would copy it again. The reason why they were doing it is they wanted to inform people that you knew that you're now a Fitbit user and they could become one soon and you could exercise virtually together and all of this. But that should be an opt-in feature. That shouldn't be a prerequisite. If I'd have bought a Fitbit, they sent it to me, I sent it back. But if I'd have bought a Fitbit and then found, that it didn't say on the packet, must give contact information for all your friends, then I'd have been pretty hacked off, because without the app, the hardware was useless. So there's always an issue with that. Do try and read the terms. I know no one does, but, just if you don't read it, just assume that you're signing away your life and that of your grandmother as well. Because that's
BBC Radio Berkshire. Fezzy's here with the Tech Help phone in 0808 100 5100. Linda's in Woodley. Morning, Linda.
Morning.
What would you like to know, Linda?
Okay, they're doing some live streaming of shows from the Royal Albert Hall.
Yes.
And I wanted to know, is it possible to get any sort of lead or anything that I can connect my iPad to my TV so that I can actually watch it on the TV screen?
Yeah, we talked about this a couple of months ago, didn't we? Getting something on your laptop or your iPad or even your phone and then getting it on your big TV, Fevzi. What does Linda do?
Yeah, so there's two ways of doing this, Linda, or at least two ways of doing it. One is that you can get an adapter, assuming you haven't got one of the more recent iPad Pros, you've got a Lightning connector on your iPad. Some of them have got USB-C, but the principle is the same. Neither of those will plug straight back into a TV, but you can get an Apple adapter, which will go from the Lightning connector on your device to HDMI. And then HDMI connector into the back of the TV. And then all you do is you select that HDMI input and watch it on your TV. So that's a wired solution. The wireless solution is to get something like an Apple TV box, which is a small puck-shaped box that allows you to access internet television of various sorts, including the Apple TV service and YouTube and a few other things. And then you do what's called aircasting, where you wirelessly send, so the stream comes over the internet into your phone, and then it's wirelessly streamed on from your phone onto the Apple TV box and then onto the screen. So that's kind of more convenient. It is more expensive, because these Apple TV boxes are not particularly cheap. But you may take a view that you'd rather do that because then you've got more flexibility. Personally, if I could be bothered to put up with the cable, I'd go the cable route, because
it'd be easier.
Well, because it's cheaper, and actually, if I was going to spend money on a TV box to turn my TV into a smart TV, I probably wouldn't go for the Apple TV as being the most versatile unit. I'd probably go for something like the Amazon Fire TV Stick, because it's a lot cheaper and a lot more versatile in terms of what you can do with it. Plus, it's got Alexa built into it, which is kind of nice.
So, what do you think, Linda? Does that work for you? Can get a Lee with an adapter?
Yeah, that works. I know someone that can get me a lead.
Because then you can get it on the big TV. And that's nice, isn't it? We've done this as well. We've faffed around trying to find the right lead to connect the laptop to the big screen. And eventually we made that work. And it was really satisfying to be able to sit and watch I don't know what it was. It was a film or something we were watching. But to watch it on the big TV is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Okay. Good luck with it. Thank you.
Because I can invite a friend as well, as social distancing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have them round. Enjoy it. Thank you, Linda. 0808 100 5100. Call us now. 0808 100 5100. If you've got any tech question for Fevzi, we'd love to talk to you. Something we've all got more used to using is these software packages like Zoom and the thing, FaceTime, Skype, the things that keep in touch with friends and family members, work colleagues, take part in quizzes, all of that. What's the best one, Fevzi, for having some kind of natural flow of conversation that doesn't feel too stilted? Are there any of these things that are better at that?
I mean, I quite like Zoom in that when someone speaks, the little square around them sort of lights up so you can see who's making the noise. I also like it that there's a sort of leader of the call in Zoom who can mute other people and just, you know, allow certain people to speak and not. So I know that's a bit controlling. That goes back to the fact that its origins are in business. But you've got a bit more flexibility with Zoom. But I don't think there's a huge difference between them in that regard. I think people just need to learn not to talk over the top of each other.
just learn courtesy. Be fine. Be no problem.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of what they call sort of e-etiquette, isn't it? That you have to learn how to behave in these new social situations. Like, what is acceptable? Is it acceptable to dress nicely on your upper half and be scantily dressed below because that's not seen? You know, what are the etiquette norms when we're interacting with the technology? And in a sense, we're making those things up as we go along. But I think not talking over the top of each other is possibly a good idea.
Mike in Wokingham emails to say, Peachy, my Sony Smart TV used to have the BBC iPlayer via the applications menu. That doesn't now show. Yep. Can I find the iPlayer on it anymore?
Okay, so each year, a whole range of television sets cease to be compatible with iPlayer because iPlayer, like lots of other software, it continues to be developed with new features and so forth, and older hardware gets left behind, just like with computer software. It may be that there is an update, a software update, a firmware update available for your TV that you haven't applied, and that when you apply it, it may become compatible again. Or it may be that it doesn't exist and that you've lost access to it through the built-in. But I take you back to the conversation we had with Linda. These built-in smart TV circuits are rarely updated frequently enough, and they often lose features over time. The better solution is to buy an external smart box and plug it into an HDMI socket on your TV set. And that can be, as we mentioned before, it can be an Amazon Fire box or stick. It can be a Roku box, R-O-K-U. It can be an Apple TV box. There's a range of them out there. And you just buy them. Some of them are as cheap as sort of £30-40. And the benefit is they've sold you a box that does that function. They're going to keep it up to date as long as they're in business, because that's their whole business model. It's not like, oh, here's a TV with an added function and then we don't commit to keeping it up to date. They've sold you that function. They keep it up to date. So in the long term, that's a better solution. Even if the internals of your TV are still showing you what they were showing you before, you might find an external box gives you much more. So it might be worth considering even before it dies a death.
Thank you, Mike. Is it worth mentioning Disney Plus? Because it's a big weekend for that, isn't it? There are more and more of these different streaming services offering different bits of content that, you know, may sound appealing. What tell us about Disney Plus.
Well, so Disney Plus is what you would imagine it to be. The general situation now is you've got fragmentation as everyone and their brother sets up their own streaming services. So, you know, BBC has got BritBox and, you know, everyone's doing their own thing. Before, it was pretty much just Netflix. And what's then happened is that all the people that had their stuff on Netflix, like Disney and BBC and stuff, they tend to have withdrawn the better material away from Netflix. So Netflix is now, in my opinion, not as an attractive as offering as before, but now it's become fragmented. So we're coming back to the situation where you know, people might need to have several subscriptions because they're not bundled together in the way that they were before under a single subscription. So you need to choose carefully. I mean, Disney Plus, there's some good deals on a lot of these services as well, by the way. What you can do is you can get a number of them free for a number of months and just go around them, you know. And don't forget, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you might have it for, you know, fast delivery of packages from Amazon, that you get access to their Amazon movie offering as well, which is quite good. Not as good as Netflix, but, you know, can be seen to be free if you've already got the service for other reasons.
Interesting. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed for that. You can go and check in with Fevzi online on Twitter is the best way, I think, of connecting with you directly, Fevzi, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Come and say hello at Gadget Detective. If you've got a tech problem, I'll certainly do my best to help you there.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed, Fevzi Turkalp, our Gadget Detective on the Peach Show this morning.